I welcome you all to the orientation for international employees and also for grant researchers, visitors, and in the crowd today, we don't have any spouses, so we can all remain here for the entire orientation time. This is our program. We just had our introductions, and it looks like in the room we have about a half and half employees and half grant researchers. So we will touch on some issues regarding employment at the university and working in Finland, the employment relationship and so forth. But we will also talk a little bit about being a grant researcher at the university. So we'll touch on that as well. After my short presentation, then we'll have a presentation by Pia, who will talk about the well-being and competence development, and that she is coming from our HR development. And after that, we'll start with a presentation from Mario about the Finnish courses and working in a multicultural environment, and she's from the Language Center. And last but not least, we will have a presentation on the library services. And this is a really great presentation, so please stay to the very end if you can. Everybody who is in an employment relationship at the university is protected by the Finnish labor legislation. Finnish labor legislation gives laws about how the employer is required to act and what kind of obligations that they have for the employee. And the most important document that we have to follow is the TES, which is in Finnish, työehtosopimus, and that is in English, the collective agreement. And the TES, and by the way, these slides will be saved on our international staff guide after the presentation, and there are a lot of links in here, so please take a look afterwards in more detail the information. If you are in an employment relationship, you have a contract. And many of you that are here as a grant researcher, you also have some sort of contract as well, but it's not an employment contract. In the employment contract, there's two different kinds. One is a fixed-term contract, and the other is an ongoing or permanent contract. And in your contract, it's written out what your duties are and what your pay would be and other details about your work. The contract is actually only one page, which surprises many people that are coming from other countries that are used to signing, you know, 20-page contracts. The reason why it's only one page is behind the contract is the collective agreement, which I just mentioned. And the collective agreement applies to all working contracts. It's the same for all employees, and it's the same for all universities. And that's the reason why the contract itself is actually so short. We do have many grant researchers in the room. Grant and scholarship recipients, in our view, as the international staff services and at the university, are the same as any other researchers at the university. Very important to us in conducting very important research. But because you are not under an employment contract, there are some special guidelines that you need to take into consideration. One is about, for example, healthcare. You do not have access to the healthcare provided by the university, so we should look at your insurances before you arrive to Finland. We probably have done that. If we haven't, we can look at them together with you after the fact. Perhaps you are insured by your own, you have your own private insurance and so forth. And there are some guidelines that we can give you about that. Any grant researchers receiving a grant or a scholarship from Finland that are here for more than 4 months and covered by the Finnish Social Security system should apply to MELA and take the statutory pension insurance and also the accident insurance. And if you do not currently have that, please get in touch with us and we can help you figure out how to apply. Going back to those that are in an employment contract. So there are employer obligations and then there are employee obligations. And I won't go over those word for word. You can take a look at these for a moment, and we can go back to these later. One thing that people are usually interested in is about their salary and where does the salary come from and how it is determined. So first of all, the salary payment, there's two different salary payment days. On the 15th of each month, the salary comes for all of those that are in a permanent employee relationship. And if the 15th of the month would fall on a Saturday or Sunday, it would be the previous Friday that you receive your pay. For those that are in a fixed term or short-term contract, the pay will come on the last day of the month. And again, if the last day of the month is on a Saturday or a Sunday, then it would be the previous Friday. And for everybody who is in an employment relationship, you need to have a tax card. There's two different kinds of tax cards, depending on whether you are here less than 6 months or here more than 6 months. If you don't already have a tax card, please be in touch with us and we can help you with that. Salary system. Everybody that is in an employment contract has their salary is determined by two different factors. I'll go actually to the next slide. There is the job task level, and then there's the personal performance level. The salary scales are all described in the collective agreement, if you want to have more detailed information about that. And there's three different types of staff at the university. One is the researchers, which is probably our largest group of staff. And researchers are covered under one part of the salary table. Then we have other staff, like myself, administrative staff. We are covered by another part of the table. And then we have teachers at the teacher training school that have their very own salary table. And the salary system is applicable to all employees, whether you are permanently employed or you are employed in a fixed term contract. And the system is called Yliopistojen palkkausjärjestelmä, or salary system of the university. You will hear many people talking about the YPJ-palkka, which is the salary of the university. I think it's easiest if I show you first the table and then I go back to the other slide. So this is what I was mentioning, that there's two types of salary tables. One is for teaching and research staff, and the other is for other staff, like myself. If you are part of the teaching and research staff, which most of you are, you will have your salary is coming from this table. In each job, there is a job-related salary. So let's say, depending on certain tasks that you do, your level of education, and you find it here. If you have, for example, on your working contract that your salary is OV5/OS4, so this would be your salary. Your job task level is 5. And your performance level is 4. Two kinds of staff at the university, like I mentioned. There's the teaching and researcher staff, which is in Finnish, O-P-H-E, and the other staff, M-U-H-E. So these are terms that you hear a lot and you might wonder what they are. You can refer back here or ask if you have questions. Depending on whether you are teaching or research staff or whether you are other staff, you will have a little bit different working time structure at the university. The working time, the amount of hours that everybody works, is essentially the same. But how that working time is structured is different depending on whether you are teaching a research staff or whether you are other staff. So, for example, other staff like myself, we work, actually has just changed with the new labor legislation. As of January 1st, we had extra 6 minutes per day added to our working time. So we now work every day approximately 7 hours and 21 minutes. And that is flexible in the sense that we can come to work between the hours of 7 and 9, and we can leave work between the hours of 3 and 5. But over the course of the day, we are supposed to work around 7 hours and 21 minutes. For teaching and research staff, you have this what's called the full time. Let's see if I have it here. Total working time system is the official name. Now, in the total working time system, you have to work 1,624 hours per year. You have a working plan, and some days, some weeks, you might be working more. Some days, some weeks, you might be working less. It depends on your working plan, when you're doing your teaching, when you might have certain parts of your year perhaps are more weighted than others. But you have the working plan, which you are putting into the SOLE system. We'll get onto the SOLE a little bit later. But in your working plan, you are calculating out which weeks you're doing what work and so forth. And if you would actually take a look at the calculate out the whole year, the approximately working hours per day would be about the same. But the weight is a little bit different. And you don't need to clock in. You don't need to clock out. You only need to agree with your supervisor about the working plan and when you're at work, when you're at the office, when you're working from someplace else. I have mentioned some of the systems that we have here at the university. One of the ones that we probably use the most is the SAP portal. And in the SAP portal is where we make our travel requests and we make our travel invoices. The SOLE is where we record our working time. And when I talk about recording the working time, I'm not talking about the actual like clocked time, but more where you have put your the work that you have done. Where you need to record that to. So you probably have a project that you're working for or a department that you're working for, and when you allocate your work to that project or department, that project or department is the one that is paying then for your salary. And then we have the TUTKA system, which is where you put your own articles for which have been published as your publications. Korppi is very important, and many of you have probably already used Korppi. Korppi is where you register for courses. There's other kinds of meetings that you can register for in Korppi. And I believe that everybody in the room should have a Korppi sign in, regardless of whether you are an employee or research here on a research grant. If Korppi is not working for you, please let us know. Then we have some other systems that we use. Plone is where our internet pages are on, for example. And upon arrival to Finland, I'm going to go over this information very quickly because most of you have already done all of these things. We have either done them together or you have done them on your own. But as you know, when you come to Finland, there are certain formalities that you need to do, as what you would need to do when immigrating to any country. For EU citizens, the registration of the right to reside in the EU is a replacement for getting a working permit. And anybody who's coming from an EU country, they do not need a working permit to be in Finland, but they need to register the right to reside if they are here in Finland for more than 3 months. And this used to be done at the police station. As of January 1st, it's being done at the immigration services. The closest immigration service office to us is in Tampere. We went there last week with Agnes, and the systems worked there very, very well. We were very pleased. Unfortunately, it is a little bit a little bit of a hike from here. You need to take the train or the bus. It takes about an hour and a half. But things are working quite well there and being processed very quickly. So you can find more information about that if you click that link. It's the same office, the Immigration Service offices. If any of you have a residence permit that needs to be renewed, so many coming from other countries other than the EU are granted the first residence permit for perhaps 1 year, and then after that it needs to be renewed. If you need to renew your residence permit, you will be going to that same office, the Immigration Services in Tampere. You can actually go to any of the offices anywhere in Finland, but Tampere is the closest one. And please ask us for more information. You can also click the links there. Everybody who comes to Finland needs to register at the register's office, regardless of where you are from. And that is after getting your working permit or your right to reside in the EU. That is the next place to stop. And of course, the tax office, because everybody needs a tax card that's in an employment relationship. If you are in receiving a grant, it's good to check. Depending on what grant you receive, you may or may not need to be paying taxes in Finland. So that's something to check with our office and also with the tax office. After handling those few things, then it's a good idea to go by the Kela office and apply for Social Security and other insurances. I already mentioned about renewing the residence permits. Taxation I have here as an ongoing because you need to have a tax card every year. If you arrive in Finland the very first of the year and receive a tax card, a progressive tax card, you do not need to go to the tax office after that to apply for a new one the next year unless there has been a significant change with your salary. Tax cards are sent to you year after year automatically. They're sent to the university, and you don't need to do anything about applying for the tax card after that very first year. However, if you have arrived in the middle of the year, or if you have had a significant increase or decrease to your salary, each year you should ask for a new tax card so that the appropriate amount of taxes are paid, and you don't have to then the following year either pay back or you won't be having a big difference in the taxes. If you are here for first less than 6 months, most likely you have a tax at source card, which takes a fixed amount of taxes from your salary. If you then start to work in Finland for longer than 6 months, then you need to go to the tax office again to ask for the progressive tax card. Traveling abroad can affect your taxation, what country your taxation is taken, where you are a tax resident. So it's good to ask about if you have some travels, especially within the very short time of moving to Finland, if you have a longer period of travel than just a trip back home for a week or so. So it's good to be in touch. Something that many of us forget is that when we also leave the country, there's many formalities that we need to do. About the same kind of rounds, what you came with, you need to do when you leave. The most important, actually, is this notification of move to the register's office. The register's office keeps all the information about where people are and what their address is, and that information goes to all the other authorities in Finland, like the tax office in Kela, for example. So you don't need to go to every single office separately. You don't need to go to the tax office, and you don't need to go to Kela, but you have to go to the register's office, or actually you don't need to go there physically. You need to fill out this notification of move. And you can send that by post to the register's office, or you can go there and fill it out. And you need to fill a final tax return about your final tax year in Finland. Most likely, if the register's office has your information about your address, this information will get to you directly, and then you can just check the tax return and make sure it's right and then return it to Finland. But if you haven't received the tax return, you can always follow up on that with the tax office. One thing that we recommend that you do is to order a pension record. It could be that when you first leave Finland, the pension record is not available, that you might need to wait about a half a year or something like that before they're able to actually send it to you. But it's a good idea to follow up and to request a pension record from Finland.